Welcome to the podcast of St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ. Hello, friends. D.A. Bennett here in studio for our podcast at St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church. And as always, it is my blessing and privilege to have our great friend and associate, Pastor Stephanie Greenwald, in the studio. Steph, how are we doing?
We're doing great. I am enjoying the series we're in, and it's really been fun to talk about Lent, and I'm excited about what we're talking about today.
Awesome. Well, friends, wherever you're listening from, I hope that it is just a beautiful day because I'm sitting here looking out my window, and it is sunny, and Stephanie's got on sandals.
Yes.
And you know, this weekend I hear it's supposed to rain. So I'm hoping wherever you are that this is a beautiful day.
Yes.
But what we want to do today, we've been talking about understanding Lent, and of course the climax of the season of Lent is that last week before Easter when we celebrate Holy Week, the busiest week in the church. I don't know about you. I'm exhausted when it's done, but I love every minute of it,
because it really is why we do what we do.
And so this Sunday, if you happen to be listening to this on time, this Sunday is Palm Sunday. I don't know what you think of when you hear that, but I think in most churches that have any kind of tradition at all, one of the things that happen is little children get to process through the aisles, waving the palm branches, maybe singing, the congregation singing some old hymn even.
Right.
That helps us to get into that. So Palm Sunday is this week, and we want to start by talking about Palm Sunday. And if you're listening and you don't know about this, Stephanie, why don't you just kind of tell us how we came to call this?
Sure, absolutely. So it's really special as we think about Jesus riding into Jerusalem. It's called the Triumphal Entry, and he rides in on a small donkey, which, number one, is really cool because at the time when rulers or kings or new people would ride in and process into a city, they would normally ride in on a big horse, like a big warrior kind of
a
horse.
Stallion.
Yes, yeah. Exactly, because you think of power and might when you think of that. And
exactly.
Jesus always flips things around for us, and that's part of what I love about Jesus. So he's coming in on this small donkey saying, I am a peaceful king. I am the Prince of Peace. And so he's coming in, and everyone is gathering around because they're all excited that this promised Messiah is here. And so they start to pull the palm branches off of the trees, and they're waving them in adoration. They're laying them down on the ground so that as he's walking or the donkey is walking, the donkey doesn't even have to touch the ground. But the cool thing about that is, and D.A., this is fun, when you and I were talking about this earlier, you reminded me that, you know, when they would run out of palm branches, which, you know, there probably weren't enough palms for all the people that were there, they would start taking off their outer cloaks and they would lay those on the ground so that the donkey could walk over them. Again, just thinking about the adoration of this promised king coming through the crowd.
Right. And I think one of the other images that I get from this in my quiet time, just this morning I was reading in 2 Samuel.
Yeah.
And it talks about, In 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel with King David, how it would say they would ride on the king's own donkey, that always demonstrated that humility.
Yes.
And so now we have this image of Jesus, who is the son of David.
Yes.
And he's riding on this donkey to show humility, to be consistent with that whole royal line, that to be king of God's people. It's just a different kind of government. And so I also just think, I mean, there was the crowd of people participating in that were, this is it. And, you know, and the shout, Hosanna, Son of David. I mean, they're just really making that connection, trying to show, Jesus, we believe in you.
Yeah.
And at the same time, there's another crowd. The crowd of the Pharisees, probably even some Roman soldiers. You know, if there's going to be any kind of crowd gathering, you know, we Romans have to to know
bring
about
order.
It.
So, yep, exactly.
So, I mean, when we think mm-hmm. about this, I mean, again, just such a parade.
Yeah.
I have a hunch if you didn't like it, you thought, I don't like this.
Right.
Probably not the right time to interfere with this because we want the hearts of the people. And right now, the hearts of the people
are with Jesus. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's so
exactly. So what do you think Jesus, I mean, it's always kind of risky
you're right.
to say that to we know exactly question. What Jesus was thinking in this moment if Jesus isn't speaking.
Uh-huh.
But what do you think Jesus' response would have been when he looked at the crowd?
You know, at this point, we know that the transfiguration has already happened.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that Jesus, in one sense, knows what's coming.
Right.
And so what a dichotomy here, really, because it is a celebratory event, but Jesus knows what he's facing. And so for the people, this kind of would have been the climax of what they were doing, because we're like, we're welcoming this guy in, and he's going to lead us into the future, and he's going to be our new ruler. And so they're all excited, but I'm sure that Jesus has this sort of bittersweet something in his heart, I would think, looking at the faces of all these people and thinking, I am about to fulfill what I was truly called here to do, and that is to save your souls.
Right.
You know?
And I find myself thinking, and maybe this is really how we respond, wow, this is great. People are making the connection.
Yeah.
God, my Father, has sent me to bring salvation to the house of Israel, and he would be excited by that. And yet my response, too, is, you know, could he have really lived in the moment?
Yeah.
You know, could,
right.
could he really appreciate it in that moment? Or did he also think, Sunday they're pretty happy, but I know what's going to happen on Friday, and that's not going to be good. I mean, we really don't know the answer to that, but we do know that this particular day is great. And that's what we experience here in worship on Sunday.
Yeah.
The music, the praying, the preaching, hopefully,
you know,
that everything we're doing is saying, you know, today is a good day. Today we remember Jesus is the King.
Well, and one thing that's cool about that in regards to the services, because it usually is very traditional in a lot of churches, not just Methodist churches, that the kids are the ones waving the paws.
Right.
And so you think about that, because this Holy Week, this passion that Christ goes through, is not always something that the kids then get to participate in later, because it's such a difficult thing. And so allowing the kids to participate in this part of the rejoicing is neat.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Well, and they certainly get to participate on Thursday, so why don't we just talk a little bit about Thursday. Maundy Thursday is when we remember that, having been in Jerusalem for a few days, seeing a great crowd of pilgrims, as we might call them, coming into Jerusalem to celebrate the high holy day of Passover.
Right.
And so we celebrate that on Maundy Thursday. It's a Passover celebration. Mm-hmm. But Jesus literally transformed our understanding and our celebration of that, because we don't typically do the traditional Seder meal where we remember God's mighty acts through the book of Exodus, done through Moses, saving God's people that way. We have a different understanding, and so we're going to have a service about that.
Yeah.
You're leading that service. Tease everybody. Come, listen.
That's right.
Watch,
we want you to
Stephanie.
Come. It's going to be 6:30 on Maundy Thursday here at St. Andrew's, and really excited about this one, because we're going to be looking at the different things that happened that night, but in particular, we're going to be looking at Jesus washing the disciples' feet and this act of humility that he showed us in the servant leadership. But, you know, I love how God chose to do the Passion Week during Passover week, because it didn't have to time out that way, you know? And the fact that God chose to save his people with the Passover lamb that we read about, like you said, in Exodus, and he chooses to save them by the blood of the lamb. When they put the blood over their doorposts, then the angel of death knew to pass over. And so that's where we get Passover. And because the Israelites then said, we're going to remember this. We're going to celebrate it, and we're going to remember it and never forget it. And we're going to write it on our hearts, because in that act, we saw who God was. We saw the nature of God. And so how cool that God chose to time that the true Passover lamb would be happening on Passover. I just think that's very cool.
A couple of things stand out in my mind as I think about that. First, I want to ask you a question about that service. No, this is all good because you said one of the things we're going to focus on is washing feet. And we know that culturally,
yes,
that was a big thing. When somebody came to your house, now we offer them a beverage.
Right. Right.
But back then, one of the first things was a servant or a slave, somebody that was not really oftentimes considered equal, would bring in a basin and a towel and wash the dust and the dung and everything off a guest's feet. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is the one that does that. I mean, that's just...
It's pretty cool. Well, and just like you said, it happened as they were welcoming them into their home. And so it is so symbolic that Jesus does that for the disciples, saying, I'm welcoming you in to my family, to my home. And where I go, you will go, you know, that kind
of thing. And demonstrating once again, if you would be the greatest, because we think Jesus is the greatest, you must be the least. And in that position, when Jesus does that, he makes himself the least.
Yeah.
But the question I have...
I think I know what your question is going to be.
I'm sure you can see it coming. So when people come to Maundy Thursday service, are we going to wash feet?
No. We are not going to literally wash feet on that night. So do not worry about getting a pedicure ahead of time. It will not be necessary. We're just going to be talking about how Jesus did that.
My thought was, if we are, we will know who listened to this podcast and who doesn't, because the people listening to the podcast would come with fresh, clean feet.
Right.
Yeah, so, okay, I'm sorry. If you have never met Stephanie, and I just know that these are things that we joke about.
Yes.
I remember a conversation that we had with some parents after confirmation class one night where they were saying, what is a contemporary act of foot washing.
Right.
And I don't remember that we ever came up with an answer to that.
Couldn't.
So that's your homework if you're listening. If you can think of a contemporary act, something that has cultural significance for us, help us know that. We would love to know
that.
I haven't spent time thinking about it. So
the
other thing then is, again, talking about Passover, that typically it was lamb that was eaten.
Right.
We remember the Passover story, how they took a hyssop plant and got the lamb's blood and marked it on the top of the door on the sides and really almost formed the cross. And I'm reminded that when Jesus was on the cross and he said he was thirsty, they actually took that sponge and lifted it up with a hyssop plant. I mean, just so much of the symbolism there.
Yeah.
But that Jesus now becomes for us the Lamb of God. John the Baptist, his cousin, had already said that, you know, when he saw Jesus, he said, hey, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Yeah.
And now this is the night. It's a holy night. It's a celebrative night because we're remembering the mighty acts of God and how it is that God saves us, not just for all eternity, but how God strengthens and gives us hope in this life. And so part of the Maundy Thursday service that we're not doing is foot washing, but there's another part that we read in the scriptures that we're doing that night. Why don't you talk about that?
Sure, absolutely. So when Jesus was sitting around this Last Supper with his disciples and celebrating the Passover meal, he ended up taking the cup and the bread that was there, and he said, you know, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins.
Right.
And he told us every time we eat and drink to remember him. And so we will be partaking in Holy Communion that night as partially celebrating the Passover and all that God has done, but ultimately celebrating one of God's greatest acts of all time in history with what Jesus did for us.
Right. And as we conclude that service, one of the things I remember is years ago, I had a good friend whose daughter had died just before Christmas. Mm. And obviously, we had Christmas Eve communion in our church.
Yeah.
And we knew that he was on staff. He's one of our associates, and he wasn't going to be there. But after that, I took communion to their house and said, hey, I know y'all missed this, but we want to share in this with you. And knowing that family and how much they love scripture and his father-in-law there was there. His father-in-law was a retired pastor from another tradition. And and I just remember sitting there thinking that the scriptures say, and after they ate the supper, they sang a hymn, and and I was just sitting in there thinking, wow, is it appropriate to sing a hymn? Because these people's hearts are breaking. What witness to me it was when his father-in-law, this retired pastor, just started singing.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, the family joined in because this is a celebration. Yeah. And so after they had the supper and they sang a hymn, of course, Judas has left the upper room so that he might go and find the people who are going to arrest Jesus so that he can betray him. And so now we move to Gethsemane.
Right.
Talk about that.
You know, that I think that's one of the most moving parts of the gospel story, is where Jesus shows us his humanity. And that's a beautiful thing, because without Jesus being fully man, this whole equation wouldn't have worked.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's so important for us to reread that. I hope all you listeners will go back and reread this part of the story. But he goes to the garden and he takes his disciples with him to pray. And DA, one of the things you said in this past week's sermon, pretty sure it was this past week's sermon,
mm-hmm.
that of course the disciples would have been a little sleepy because they'd had a lot of wine,
a lot of wine and a full stomach.
Exactly. And so, you know, we do tend to kind of fault them for it, like, guys, couldn't you stay awake?
Right.
But they were pretty sleepy, and so they fell asleep. But Jesus asked them multiple times, would you stay awake with me and pray, because going through the hardest time in my life, which I don't think they even began to fully understand. But the fact that Jesus goes and prays in the garden, and he is under this stress, and he says to God, please take this cup of suffering from me, but not my will, your will be done. You know, that what an example that is for us in times of suffering. We don't ever come close to suffering what Jesus suffered, and yet we do suffer. And so to be able to trust God enough to say, I really don't want this, but I want what you want more. I love that.
That's one of the greatest lessons that we learn. And I think if there's anything Jesus teaches us that we think of when we pray, it's that we can pray for whatever we want.
Yeah, exactly.
But to really be people of prayer and to pray deeply in the Spirit is to yield our spirits to God, to say, God, this is what I want. But if there's a different way, if there's a higher way, bring me to that place where my will lines up with yours.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we think prayer is God's will lining up with our will, and that's not really how it works. Another thing I think of in that story, of course, is while they're in Gethsemane, that's when Jesus is arrested, and Peter has a pretty violent response. I mean, to grab a sword and... I mean, he cut a guy's ear off. Now, we think, wow, what a terrible thing to lose your ear, and it would be.
Right.
But I'm sure Peter's going, ooh, I missed.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he wasn't trying to cut the guy's ear off.
I don't think
that was his goal.
No.
And Jesus, to respond, put your sword away.
Yeah.
Again, here's this king that has ridden in on a donkey, humbly, a different kind of king, a peaceful king, saying, that's not what my kingdom is about.
Well, and then for him to actually heal the man's
ear.
Like, can you imagine what the soldier was thinking? Here I have come to arrest this guy who's supposed to be a rebel and a criminal. His follower cuts off my ear, and then he says, stop it, and then he heals my ear. Like, I mean, I would be like, okay, you've got my vote, you know?
Well, and again, this is probably the temple guard. This is not the Romans that are arresting Jesus. This is the temple guard of the Jews that are arresting him. And you almost have to wonder, when that happened, if everybody stepped back and they all grabbed their swords and, you know,
we're ready to fight.
We're getting ready to rumble right here. The strength of Jesus to step in and say no.
Yeah.
You know, you get the sense, because we always think he's talking to Peter and he's probably looking at his 12, but all those others were hearing no too.
Right.
You know, I mean, truly, this is a de-escalation of a very potentially violent and volatile situation. And so this is part of what we're going to be doing on Thursday. We actually leave the service by stripping the altar,
right,
preparing then for Good Friday. We've got just a little time left. Why don't you talk a little bit about what we're going to be doing on Good Friday? And next week we'll talk more about what Good Friday means, but talk to us about that service.
Sure. So that service will be Friday night, obviously, 6:30 p.m. in our worship center. I'm excited about this service because we're going to be looking at the stations of the cross. And if you were with us last week, you know that Mike Mathis, our special guest, talked a little bit about the stations of the cross as he has his roots in Catholicism. And so we are taking the different stations of the cross, and we will not walk through them physically. We will literally sit in the seats. But together, we will hear the wording of the stations of the cross, and we will experience it through music. We will experience it visually in some different ways. And this really is the time where we reflect on the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. It's not a time where I will be preaching to you or DA will be preaching to you. This is a time where we take it upon ourselves to remember. Just like, you know, the Israelites were remembering in the Passover what God had done for them, it's really important that we remember what God did for us. So that's what we'll do.
Right, and I just want to reiterate what you said. This is really not a participation service in we're having responsive readings and music so much. This is really more of a somber experience. Remember, all the joy we experience on Maundy Thursday and Palm Sunday has now been replaced by what we would say is the darkest day in history, the day the Savior died.
Right.
And that is hard, and sometimes people leave and they don't understand, but the hope is in when you get here on Easter, if you've experienced this emptiness and this brokenness and this sorrow, Easter means a whole lot more. So, well, very good. Well, I'm looking forward to Holy Week. I know you are too.
Yes.
Again, listeners, we would just remind you that the Maundy Thursday service is at 6:30 Thursday evening. Good Friday service also at 6:30. And once again, that's a day that traditionally we invite people to consider fasting in preparation for the service. If they can do that, that emptiness we feel physically really helps us to spiritually get in touch with that. So God bless you. Thank you all for being here. This is D.A. Bennett with Stephanie Greenwald here in our podcast studio at St. Andrew's Community Church. Go in peace, friends.